You are listening to TARDIS Jukebox now on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio. I am the Doctor. And this last weekend, I went to a couple of shows on Saturday night. It was Idols. And then on Friday night, it was They Might Be Giants, finally getting around to the 30th anniversary tour for Flood after COVID postponements. And one of the more interesting things that they did on Friday night was they'd learned to play one of their songs backwards. And it's one of the songs from Flood. Let's see if you can figure out which one it was. So they play the song live, play it backwards live, and then they do this just before intermission. After intermission, they play the recorded version of it. Whoop, come on, you. They play the recorded version of it backwards, and the idea is to see if you can recognize the song. The song, of course, I mean, isn't it obvious, is Sapphire Bullets of Pure Love. Now, coming up next, Another song they played, another song from Flood. This one frontwards, it's Twistin'.
She said your gulf is free, and now she's sighing. Blew out your pilot light and made a wish. She doesn't have to have her DB's record back now. But there's not a lot of things that she'll take back. Twisting in the wind, twisting in the wind. She's not your satellite, she doesn't miss you. So turn off your smoke machine and Marshall stack. She doesn't have to have her young fresh fellas take back now, but there's not a lot of things that she'll take back.
Now, coming up next week, October 1st, at the Burren, it'll be Abby Barrett with the Mommy Heads, and we'll have an interview with Adam Elk from the Mommy Heads right after this.
Sign of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
Hey, everybody, we've got a guest here, and not in the studio today, but by the magic of the recording devices. It's Adam Elk, who is the lead singer and main writer for the band The Mommy Heads. The Mommy Heads are going to be playing at the Burren on October 1st, along with Abby Barrett. And I'm going to be there, and hopefully you'll be there too, if you get there soon enough to buy your tickets. So hi, Adam. Welcome to TARDIS Jukebox.
Glad to be here. We also have an additional act on that bill, Jed Parrish from The Gravel Pit, a band, Boston band that we played with through the 90s. And he's a genius songwriter, and he's going to come up first and play some keyboards, and it's not to be missed.
Well, I'm going to get there in time for dinner, so I won't be missing it.
Excellent.
All right, so you guys have a new album out. It's called Genius Killer. And, well, tell us about it.
Well, we've been around, I guess, around 35 years, and we took some breaks. We had some, you know, ups and downs, just like all bands from the 90s, and honed our craft over the years, and we're at a pace where we'd like to make a record a year. That's sort of our bowling league or stamp collection knitting group thing that we all like to do as just, you know, fellow friends and musicians together all these years. And some people think it's nuts, and we love it. You know, for me, tying my shoes is a pain. But making a record a year is fun and thrilling, and we get to document where we're at and what we see and how we feel. And we never feel like we're that important where people need to listen to what's on our minds. But if you put a nice melody on it and it's in 3 or 4 minutes and it's played well and we do some creative things with the instruments, then maybe it is worth listening to. So we feel like we're in a bubble like most people, but you know, it's a great bubble to be in. And this current record kind of covers a lot of current stuff for us. You know, like the song Genius Killer is kind of about seeing the WeWork scandal and that pharma scandal. You know, people's lives were in the balance, and how we just want to listen to the loudest, most confident person in the room and give them the keys to the castle and open checkbook, not double checking if they know what they're talking about. So that was the Genius Killer concept, and the snake with the library in its mouth artwork. And it's, you know, it's just fun to always have something to do. It's a schedule. And
I sort of got that from listening to the record that there's a lot of disillusionment, but it's sort of an adult disillusionment. You've got your dreams. You realize that most of the time dreams don't happen, but you still keep plugging along and doing the best you can, and maybe not getting as angry as the loudmouths in the room as you would have when you were 20. But yeah, you're still fighting the good fight.
Yeah, disillusionment when you're 20 or in your 20s, at least for me, was you just sort of feel like the world's against me. And disillusionment in your 40s and 50s is you understand it. You understand why people do things and why they make, I guess, poor decisions. And you realize that we're just human. And maybe the best way is to sing about it. And sing about and ask questions via lyrics and ask questions via chord changes. And keep people like wanting to be smart about it and have an intellectual response, not just a guttural, you know, response, which is what America loves to do. You know, we wait till a bridge falls and then we start fixing the concrete and the rebar. You know.
And speaking of singing about it, how about you stick one of your songs off the new album in right about here?
Well, let's play the lead track, Genius Killer. It's track two. And yeah, hope you guys dig it.
Getting
That was fun. We'll have time for another song or two before we get out of here. So let's see, you're playing with Abby and with
Jed Parrish, and Abby's great, and the bass player is Ed Velasquez, who's also on the Gravel Pit, and works at Q Division in Boston, a famous studio that went as far back as Amy Mann and the Pixies, and they're working with the keyboardist from the Cars now, and they just have always something going on, and it's kind of his night, so we're really stoked. And we also have a gig on Sunday at Cafe 9 in New Haven, Connecticut, if anybody's there. It's an early show.
Staying up for the weekend, more or less, in New England with family and...
Oh, we love New England. Our keyboardist lives in Cape Cod, and bass player lives in Massachusetts and North Adams, and we're always up there. And we used to play Boston all the time, TT the Bears, Middle East back in the 90s, and have fond memories. And even though we're New Yorkers, you know, don't hold it against us. Some of us are New Yorkers. I'm from Brooklyn, and I moved to Westchester, and we spent 10 years in San Francisco, so my accent isn't as strong as you should be, but you know.
So how do you guys make your music, given that you're geographically diverse a little bit?
Well, I have a studio in Manhattan. I have a little demo studio in my basement, thanks to COVID, which is actually kind of fun, but I do love getting together with the guys. It's a real band. You can feel the push and pull in the music and the elasticity, and you can hear the arguing and the making up and the hugging, and that's what I love. And so we have to get in the studio, and we did. Actually, our last record, Age of Isolation, was a reflection of COVID and the frustrations of being separate when you're meant to be together making music. It actually felt safer in New York when we would come in during COVID. New York cleared out. Everyone went to like the countryside, and we've been, coming into the city, and we start with little demos, and whatever the guys react to, we keep going with, and we try to make it as weird as possible.
Okay, and speaking of weird, after you did Age of Isolation, you brought back your, I want to say the first album, it might not be the first album, but it's that cassette, Swiss Army Knife, that everybody can now get from Bandcamp on CD, whatever. And what made you decide to do that at this point?
We had a run with Simple Machines, which was sort of the first subscription model indie back in the 80s and 90s. There was Simple Machines, Teen Beat Records, and Fugazi's label Discord. And Simple Machines would make cassettes in their basement. And David Grohl had his demos on it, and we had our demos on it. And a success was 100 cassettes. That's what we thought was a big hit. And then when we started seeing them on eBay for hundreds of dollars, and I thought the quality's terrible, there's wow and flutter, I'm going to find the original cassettes and send it out. And the irony is there's this pushback against perfectness in Instagram. No one wants to see a perfect sunset anymore. They want rough and cool. And I see that in music. A lot of new bands have warbliness in it, and they try to force out of tune via plugins. And they try to make that tape sound via plugins. And I'm like, well, I have 20 songs here that are made on a Tascam or a Yamaha cassette machine. Let me just put it out. And it sounds amazing. It's all really hissy and tapey. And the reaction from college radio was amazing. It would chart in the like 64 or something like that. And charted over Eddie Vedder's solo record for a couple weeks on college radio. So I felt really validated for the first time about that music from the mid 80s. You know, you got to remember when 4-tracks came out, it was revolutionary. You could not make anything on your own. There was no, you had reel to reel, you had to pay a studio $500 an hour.
Now there's some guy sitting with his MacBook and a pair of headphones, and he's got music.
He's got music, but back then you had to fork up a decent amount of money for a cassette machine that converted all 4-tracks. Instead of two sides, it was one side of 4-tracks, and you could dump 3 tracks to one. And that became the 4-track generation, which was a thing. Sebado came out of it, Dinosaur Jr. came out of it, Guided by Voices came out of it. Thousands of bands were formed because they were able to actually have records they could make cheaply. And we were just another band like that. So it was really cool to put it out.
Were you making these, the current version from the original master cassettes?
Yeah. And I found my original tape deck. Yes. And it sounded amazing. So I'm like late at night after I'm done with my work, I just pop a cassette in. And nothing changed. And these were TDK's SA90s, really high-end, decent, not the Radio Shack versions for anyone out there of our generation.
I worked at Radio Shack and sold those cassettes. I know exactly what you mean because I went out and bought the TDK's for my own music.
It was the high-end one, and it sounded amazing and was such a relief from Apple Music and Spotify, where it does not sound right to me a lot of the time. A lot of what ends up on CDs still sounds cold to me. And to hear that warmth and that sort of compression and slight distortion and low-end roll-off and slight high-end roll-off and complicated mids was so wonderful to listen to these cassettes. So I was, and then I had it mastered by Fred Kevorkian, who masters all the Fish records and the White Stripes and the Black Keys. So I'm having it in Nine Inch Nails. I'm having a pro master these cassettes. It's such a weird thing. It's like dressing up in a clown outfit to like the Queen's ball. Like, it was so weird and out of context, but so gratifying, you know?
Of course, the new music doesn't sound like that at all. And why don't we stick another one of those songs in right about here?
Yeah, let's do Impulse Item, the first song, which it's the closest we've ever got to ELO. And we had string players come in, and it was awesome to do. So Impulse Item, here you go.
Trust in your impulse.
Cool. Well, that was fun.
So anything else you want to talk about in particular?
Yeah, it's just, I love talking to you guys. We're not trying to sell out arenas or sell a million copies, whatever that means anymore.
Let me frame that a little bit then.
Yeah, please frame it.
Okay. So you've been doing this for 35 years and we really like the results. Everybody must like that last song, right, guys? Okay, everybody who's listening. Woo! All right, so, but it is not your day job. What makes you keep going? Why are you still here 35 years later after major label disappointments, 10 years off, you know, this, that, COVID?
Yeah, you know, so the best thing we ever did was got day jobs. And it's not, you should not feel bad about being a rock star wannabe with a day job. It's the best thing. It's healthy. It's the most organic thing you could do. Why? Because I do music for my day job, which is commercial music, and it's a different set of skills. It's like fixing leaks. I'm a plumber. And it's more about your skill set and getting it done on time. And you don't have to reveal everything on your mind and your heart and your soul and what's troubling you and who you've fallen in love with and yada, yada, yada. And so what I ended up doing, and it also helps me my day job with deadlines, which most bands have problems with. You think 10 years for a record is fine. It's not really, because time goes by. And so what we learned after getting our day jobs was that we miss doing this, and we should get back together, which we did in 2008 after the Geffen deal 10 years later. And we just enjoy this. It keeps us regular. It keeps us whole. They're like little... What's that?
Regular.
It does. I mean, you can get musically constipated. You can get artistically constipated. And doing music that you care about, that you love, they're little dreamscapes. They're little like places you can go that you escape from your everyday issues, bills, whatever. And it also is something that is a lineage. You know, my kids are going to listen to this. Also, people told us, you know, there's not a lot of bands from the 90s, from the 80s still around that know how to make that sound. There are people replicating it that are 20 years younger, but there's nothing like going to the source. And so in some respects, we feel a responsibility, even though we weren't a big famous band, to keep this sound going and to have this sort of trajectory to see where we've come from. And it is important because it is a thing that needs to be kept alive. With each change and, you know, with each title shift in arts, it's hard to go back. You kind of just go, yeah, we've moved on. Now it's, you know, gangster rap, or it's this, or it's that, mumble rap, or it's, you know, and you can sample it, but there's nothing like making new things that sound like they're rich in the heritage. They're steeped in this heritage of a time, which is what we are. We are an 80s, 90s band.
Yeah, and it's sort of the way, well, I talk about Tyrus Jukebox. I say it's the same radio show I was doing 40 years ago when I was in college. I just have 40 years more of music and experience to choose from. And let's have one more example of what 35 years of experience will do for you.
Yeah, sure. So this is the fifth track on the record called Distill Your Love Into That Dying Light. And it's kind of heavy. People who've heard it said it's somewhere between Earth, Wind, and Fire and Stevie Wonder and Genesis weirdness in the same song with a little ABBA sprinkled in, sung with guys only. So you be the judge. Distill your love into that dying light. Here you go. We'll be right back.
Another great cut from Genius Killer by the Mommy Heads. We've had Adam Elk here with us talking. He's going to be there with the band October 1st at the Burren. Hope to see you there. Thanks for visiting TARDIS Jukebox, Adam.
My pleasure. I appreciate you having us and playing us on your show.
My love is in your hands now, baby, so don't you let
And that's the surprise package, Reach Out. And, you know, if you ever want to reach out to TARDIS Jukebox, make requests, share some of your music, talk about things, you can visit y42k.com. You'll also find old playlists, the last couple weeks shows you can replay, fun stuff like that. And now, speaking of requests, here's something for a listener in Vermont.
She said, I don't recall seeing you around here. You must be new to this town. Said, I'm just passing through, but girl, from the looks of you, I could see me settling down. Then she smiled and said, the invitation's open, 'cause you look just like what I've been waiting on. So I said, why don't we take this matter somewhere else and get to know this feeling that's so strong. Lead on. She said, I had a love once, but he just up and left me. I said, I bet it broke your heart. I had a love once too, but I acted like a fool. Oh, what I'd give to be back in her. Then she smiled and said, the invitation's open, 'cause you look just like what I've been waiting on. said, why don't we take this matter somewhere else and pick up right where everything went wrong? Lead on. She said, I don't recall seeing you around here. You must be new to this town.
Did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world? And if you did, was she crying, crying? Hey, if you happen to see the most beautiful girl that walked out on me, tell her I'm sorry. Tell her I need my baby. Oh, won't you tell her that I love her? I woke up this morning, realized what I had done. I stood alone in the cold gray dawn and knew I'd lost my morning sun. I lost my head and I said some things. Now comes the heartaches that the morning brings. I know I'm wrong, but I couldn't see. I let my world slip away from me. So hey, did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world? And if you did, was she crying, crying? Hey, if you happen to see the most beautiful girl that walked out on me, tell her I'm sorry. Tell her I need my baby. Oh, won't you tell her that I love her? If you happen to see the most beautiful girl that walked out on me, tell her I'm sorry. Tell her I need my baby. Oh, won't you tell her that I love her?
That's Charlie Rich, of course, here on TARDIS Jukebox. And this is Sam Hunt.
We drove right past that no trespassing sign, sat on the tailgate and watched the planes take off. Thought we had all night, there was no need to rush. That's when those cops came pulling up. And I thought, man, ain't this some shh. Your daddy's gonna kill me. But if I survive tonight, I wouldn't change one thing. Baby, yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but there was something about the way the blue lights were shining, bringing out the freedom in your eyes. And I was too busy watching you going wild, child, to be worried about going to jail. You were thinking that running for it would make a good story. I was thinking you were crazy as hell. You were so innocent, but you were stealing my heart. I fell in love in the back of a cop car.
playing. The show put those cuffs on quick. You tried to sweet talk him. They didn't fall for it, but I did. You were on the left, I was on the right. I knew you didn't smoke when you asked him for a light. And I laughed, he got mad and slammed the door. I swear your daddy's gonna kill me. But if I survive tonight, I wouldn't change one thing. Baby, yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but there was something about the way the blue lights were shining, bringing out the freedom in your eyes. And I was too busy watching you going wild, child, to be worried about going to jail. You were thinking that running for it would make a good story. I was thinking you were crazy as hell. You were so innocent, but you were still in my heart. I fell in love in the back of a cop car. And you were like, side by side and locked in tight. They were taking their time, but we didn't mind. And we talked and we laughed, we sat real close. By the time they let us go, I was already gone.
Child from East Tennessee. Now Leroy was an outlaw, hard-eyed and mean. One day she caught him staring and it chilled her to the bone. She swore she had to see that look on a child of her own. Cause ladies love outlaws like babies love stray dogs. Ladies touch babies like a banker touches gold. Outlaws touch ladies deep down in their soul. Well, Linda, she's a pretty girl. She's blind and built to last. Timmy's a bad old guitar picker running from his past. Now listening to his song, she heard nothing but bad news. Still, she made her mind up to get him win or lose. Cause ladies love outlaws like babies love stray dogs. Ladies touch babies like a banker touches gold. Outlaws touch ladies deep down in their soul. She liked Cadillacs, she liked diamonds for her hand. Seymour had a reputation as a ladies' man. Well, late one night, her light of love finally gave the sign. Jesse parked her Cadillac, took her place in line. Cause ladies love outlaws like babies love stray dogs. Ladies touch babies like a banker touches gold. Outlaws touch ladies deep down in their souls. You know, ladies touch babies like a banker touches gold.
Outlaws touch ladies any damn where's they want to.
Tom Rush on TARDIS Jukebox, the title cut from his Ladies Love Outlaws album. And let's see, about 6 minutes before 7 o'clock here on WMFO in Medford. Oh, how about some Judy Sill?
Crayon angel songs are slightly out of tune, but I'm sure I'm not to blame. Nothing's happened, but I think it will soon, so I sit here waiting for God in a train to the astral plane. Magic rings I made have turned my finger green, and my mystic roses died. Guess reality is not as it seems, so I sit here hoping for truth and a ride to the other side. Prophet stole the only light I knew, and the darkness softly screamed. Holy visions disappeared from my view, but the angels come back and laugh in my dreams. I wonder what it means.
And here's John Stewart from the Live at Phoenix album.
Crazy, we feel later. Take me to a lady at the end of the road. Rock me crazy, we feel. crazy, we've been laid. Take me to my lady at the end of the road. Rock and roll.
John Stewart, Wheatfield Lady Live. I am the Doctor. You are listening to WMFO in Medford. And you're now going to be listening to James McMurtry.